So just a bit about the Pali Canon. The Buddha lived for another 45 years after his enlightenment. If he was, traditionally we are told he was 35 years old when he gained enlightenment. He lived for another 45 years, wandering and teaching until he died as an old man of 80. So whenever he taught, those teachings were remembered by those present or by those to whom he later repeated them, together with the stories of how the teachings came to be given. They'd be remembered, and then the stories and the teachings would be recited at the gatherings of the disciples at the full moon. They'd be checked to make sure they'd been remembered correctly by the most experienced of the disciples, and then they'd be discussed and explored as a guide and inspiration to practice. I suppose, you know, very much in the way that we might, you know, listen to a tape of Bhante's and then have a study group make sure we've understood what he's trying to say, and then go away and just reflect on it, really try and put the teachings into practice. It was much the same sort of principle at work, except, you know, people were remembering the stories of the Buddha, remembering what he taught, making sure they'd understood it, and then just going away to reflect on it and really try and put it into practice in their lives. So the stories, the teachings were remembered, and gradually, you know, the Buddha spent 45 years. He did a lot of teaching, a lot happened. There were a lot of stories, a lot of teachings to be remembered, and they used to be gradually collected together. Some of the monks would become specialists in remembering the stories. And different collections were made in different geographical areas, in different schools, and the whole collections were gradually formalized. And eventually they began to be written down after about 500 years. Some may never have been written down. Some collections have been lost or only have survived in fragments. And there's only one complete collection, as far as we know, that has survived to the present, and that's the collection of the School of Elders, the Theravada, that was written down in Sri Lanka at the start of the Common Era, that's around the year naught, in a language called Pali, which is apparently a language very close to the language the Buddha himself probably spoke. Some parts of the oral tradition got set very early on, and others continue to change in the telling. So if we imagine a story being told for the first time in Shakespeare's time, you know, in the England of Elizabeth, in Shakespearean English, Elizabethan English. And that story, well, it might have been just remembered exactly what it is told and passed down over the centuries. Or it might have been retold, you know, so retold in the idioms of the 16th century, 17th century, 18th century, you know, in Victorian English, even contemporary English. You know, so over 500 years, you can imagine how the telling of a story would change and how the ways in which people told it would change, the sort of assumptions that the storyteller would bring to bear that were perhaps very different from the assumptions of the original storytellers. So we have something of that same phenomena in the stories of the Pali Canon as well. Some have a very sort of archaic feel to them. You know, in them we come very close to sort of the Buddha himself and the way he spoke, the way people saw things. Others, it's obvious, you know, that monasticism has formed out and the whole sort of way of thinking of the monastic community very much colours the way the stories are told and the way incidents are seen. So one of the oldest sections of the Pali Canon is one that you're probably all very familiar with, where various pithy sayings were collected together in the Dhammapada, put together in sets according to subject matter. And these would have been kept, if you like, in the form that they were originally passed on from very early on. So in the verses of the Dhammapada, we come very close to the authentic voice of the Buddha, hearing the Buddha himself as he might have spoke. There's actually a new translation of the Dhammapada by Sangharakshita that's going to be out, I think, next month in a little hardback edition. So something to be looking forward to.